Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvader.
Welcome back to the Soar to Success podcast. Every month, we interview our featured expert. That's the person who's on the cover of our Soar to Success magazine that month. And today, my guest is internationally recognized business and leadership development advisor, author, speaker, and workshop facilitator, Diane Helbig. I'm excited, Diane, to have our listeners get to know you. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, Pat.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great to have everyone hear a little bit about you and your success and what you do for people. So why don't we go ahead and get started by having you tell our audience what you do, but then even more importantly, what your why is for doing it.
Thank you so much for asking that question. Basically, what I do is spend a lot of time with small business owners. I do work with some salespeople, but it's mostly small business owners, really helping them. You know, they talk about the challenges that they're having in their business, and then I help them figure out ways of overcoming those challenges. And while they implement whatever it is we come up with, I'm there with them, sort of walking down that road with them, helping them as they go through the process, answering questions, really being a guide and an advisor and, you know, trusted resource, I would say, so that I'm that person they've got, they can count on to tell them the truth, but also, and be a huge fan of theirs and really help them get where they want to go. I would say that that is the what that I do.
Yeah, it's always great to have someone who's your fan.
Yeah.
Because we have so many other people in our life who are saying, you're going to do that?
It's so true. It's, and you know what I say about those people? Get them out of your life.
So now tell us why you do it.
I do it because I spent an awful lot of years in business watching small business owners struggle with things that I really feel passionately they should not have to struggle with. And so I'm really, I would say, driven to helping them get over those bumps, you know, get over the, they can be so successful and it doesn't really take a ton for that to happen. They just need resources or guidance or ideas, suggestions, you know, whatever it is. And I think small business owners are courageous individuals who are making it happen. They're in the world and they have the right to be successful and enjoy what they're doing. So,
and that's great that they have somebody like you that can be a great resource for them.
Thank you.
Yes, so you mentioned the word driven. You're driven to help them get over their struggles. I know that you're also driven to help eliminate 30-second introductions. So what's behind that?
I am driven to eliminate 30-second commercials.
And okay.
I prefer that they were introductions. So.
Oh, okay. So expound on that a little.
I would love to. Thank you. So I think it's really silly that we've learned to do this commercial, this pitch thing, because it really connotes that we are selling, and that's not why you do a 30-second anything. I think we've gotten to this place where people, it's so canned. It's either so about industry jargon or it's so canned that no one listens to it. So what's the point of even doing it? I would really prefer that we just introduce ourselves, that we just use plain English and just talk about what we do, sort of like I did when you asked me, you know, what I do, and I was pretty basic about it, because we're really just trying to start a conversation. We're not trying to sell anybody with what we do, because it's just the wrong mindset, in my opinion, to have. I think it turns people off. I think people don't listen to it. And I think so many people struggle with coming up with a good one that either it's not good, or they go on way beyond 30 seconds, and, you know, people stop listening 15 seconds into it, so.
Yeah.
You know, that's
so can you just give us yours?
Sure.
I know you said you already covered some of the things, but let's just say you are at a networking meeting and stand up and have to do your 30-second introduction. So what would you say?
So I would say I spend most of my time with small business owners. We talk about the challenges they're facing, as well as where they'd actually like to take their business. And then we create a plan, and I walk with them while they implement that plan. The result is that they realize greater results for their business and achieve the success that they were looking for and ultimately are happier. Okay, so, and I can go on, because that's not even 30 seconds, so I can say they might need a selling plan or a way to communicate with their employees or more structure, something along those lines, but no matter what, we get them moving forward, they're a lot happier and more successful. And all of that is less than 30 seconds. Do you see how that's just, it's like explaining to my 16-year-old what I do.
Yeah, right. And you're giving the results that they're going to get and
right.
the different things that you do for them.
Right.
Perfect.
Really, a 30-second intro should be about who you work with, so what segment of the population you work with, the value you bring and the result they're going to get. Because people only really care about results. They don't care about how you're going to do it. They don't
right.
care about all that jargon. They don't care about how brilliant you are. They want to know what's the result for the person on the other end.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's great. Thanks for sharing that little tidbit with us.
Thank you.
So tell me how you got started and what led you to being this business and development advisor, leadership development advisor.
Yeah. So in late 2005, my father passed away very suddenly. And it was one of those life-changing experiences. I will say I had a midlife crisis, if we want to call it that, where I hadn't been tremendously happy with the decisions that were being made at the organization where I was. Let's say it that way. And there was a lot to working full-time for somebody else. I had two small kids. Things were somewhat stressful, trying to navigate and manage all of it. And talking to my brother and sister while we were packing up my dad's apartment, just talking about where we were at in our lives, what we would want to be doing, that kind of thing. And it got me starting out on an exploratory journey. And my best friend told me that I should be a life coach. And I didn't know what it was, but as I started researching it, I realized not a life coach, but a business coach, consultant, advisor, that's what I should be doing. Because I had, all of my career had been in management and sales. I understood small business. I was concerned about the challenges that I saw them going through, and it was just one of those aha moments where I went, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I should be doing. So
mm-hmm.
I just headed out in that direction.
And so what did head out in that direction look like?
So I took a coaching certification course at night by phone once a week, got on the phone with this group, and took 6 months. So I learned how to do that, and really what I wanted to know was how do you actually launch a coaching practice. And then I went to the company that I worked for and negotiated with them to change my relationship with them, so I was an independent contractor moving forward instead of an employee, so I had the time available to myself to be able to build my practice. Picked ways to market, like in the class they told us all the different ways that you could market your business. I picked a couple that I thought made sense for me and started doing it. Some was public speaking, writing, networking, and I'd already been networking, so that was a natural next step. The others I had to learn how to do. And so I just started first making sure everybody who I knew what I was now doing, and started writing and started putting out there that I did presentations and workshops and things. And so just started walking down this road of being this person who I was trying to become, actually, and figuring it out along the way. I had really good support along the way, I have to say. I had someone who I met in the class who became one of my best friends, and we sort of helped each other move forward down the road. And having the class helped, and the business community here in Cleveland, they knew me well, knew my skills, I guess. So it was not a huge transition. It seems like a big transition, but not necessarily, because I was already trusted by a lot of people in this business community.
And what did you do before that created that trust?
So immediately before, I was in sales for a local company. Before that, I was in sales for a company out of Michigan, and came to Cleveland with that company. I was the director of operations for them. So throughout my whole career, I started in management and leadership and then moved into sales and was in sales for a service firm and then sales for a firm that sold an actual product, manufactured and sold an actual product. So I had all of that small, and always small businesses, so I had all of that business background. And my degree in college was in social science. Most of my classes were in sociology and psychology, but it was a social science degree. So all of those things, in my opinion, really were the foundation for me being able to become a small business coach and consultant and advisor because I had all of that experience, you know, over 20-some years of actually working in small business.
So it's my opinion that it's a hard road to go to start out as a business coach.
Yeah.
And you're one of the great success stories. Do you agree with me that that's...
It is definitely a hard road to be any sort of coach. I agree with you. I think one of the advantages I had that was that I had already been a salesperson, so I knew
yeah.
how to sell. You know, because I think that's one of the biggest problems people have is that they love what they do, but they don't know how to go out there and actually draw business in. So
yeah.
I already had that advantage. And you have to work it, you know. I mean, it doesn't just come to you because you decide, hey, this is what my vocation is, and I'm going to go do it.
Right.
So, got to work it every day.
Yeah. And so from 2005 to today, so that's 11 years, and now you're winning all sorts of awards, and that's probably been going on for several years, but tell our viewers, our audience, just some of the things that have recently occurred for you.
Oh, well, thanks. I a couple weeks ago got the Volunteer of the Year Award from the Women's Business Center of ECDI, which was a lovely surprise. Over the years, I've gotten various business awards. My book was named Best Business Read, you know, for the summer. You know, if you're picking business books you're going to read in the summer, it was one of them. To be really honest, I don't even know because it's interestingly, like, I don't do it for the awards. So they're great to have, and I appreciate all the organizations that have recognized me and appreciate what I do. But they're not top of mind. I don't really think about the award. The reason why I know the volunteer is because it just happened like 2 weeks ago. So
yeah,
you know, ask me in a couple months, I won't remember that one either. Probably.
Yes. So I find that a great attribute. That those really aren't that valuable, but it does show how important involvement is in all sorts of things, including the volunteer involvement that you do. So you mentioned the Small Business Center,
The Women's Business Center.
Yes, and so what do you do to volunteer there?
I give presentations on all different sorts of subjects, social media, one of the biggest, social media email marketing. I'm doing one Thursday on sales. So I try and make myself available to give presentations to those gals because they're all, most of them are either brand new or very young business owners who are tremendously motivated to succeed and relish receiving information from people so they can learn. I mean, it's a great bunch of women, so it's a pleasure. And I go out to the Chesterland Innovation Center and do presentations out there, and also as a, you know, pro bono sort of thing, because those people are the same sort of group. You know, they love to learn. They implement the stuff that you teach them, you know, so it's... And I think you have to give back. You know, I think we always have to give back, pay it forward, you know, whatever you want to call it. I think it's really important that no matter how successful you are giving back to some sort of community. My favorite is the small business community. So,
Yes, that's fabulous. And I think that's a really good point for everyone to remember. And it doesn't matter where you are, really, in your progress. You always have something that someone could benefit from knowing that you could offer.
Absolutely true. And, you know, from the minute I started my business, I got involved. I joined COSE, which is, you know, here, the Council of Smaller Enterprises. And I got on this little advisory board and, like, on a task team and started volunteering at the beginning. And because, for a couple reasons. One, because I knew it was important to be involved and to give back and to be connecting with other business people. And all of that is really important when you're growing a business.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you enjoy the most about what you do right now?
If I had to nail it down, I would say the thing I really love most about what I do is working with my clients, like being in a situation where we problem solve and they have success or that growth or that aha moment, you know, whatever it is, where, you know, we land on something that they're really excited about implementing or they realize some sort of success from doing, that's the most fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so I bet it is really great fun to continue to stay in touch with people too over the years. Do how do you work? I guess that's the question I want to ask. So how do you work with someone? So they contract you? Is it for a certain amount of time, or to get a certain thing done, and how do you stay in touch after that's done?
Yeah, so it really depends on the client. So there are certain clients that will hire me for a specific project, right? They have a certain thing they need to get done, and they want assistance with getting that done, and that's great. Most of my clients hire me for just to be there with them, just over time, over the years, with anything that's going on in their business, I'm there. And so the way we do it is on a retainer basis. So they pay for a certain number of hours, mm-hmm. and they just keep, you know, we just use those hours as we need to, and then they pay for another block of hours. So mm-hmm. when they're done, and we move on, or they go to less time. Just really depends. I have accountability programs, so I have some clients who we talk once a week for 20 minutes,
mm-hmm.
just so they're sure they're getting stuff done. You know, they just
yeah,
know they're
right.
getting it done before I get on that phone call. So
it's
really dependent. Now, interestingly, so past clients, we're connected through social media, and they're on my newsletter list, so they're hearing from me on a regular basis, and they will reach out, or I'll be following what they're doing, and I'll reach out to them, and sometimes they circle back around if they've got something new going on that they want some help with, and sometimes we're just, you know, paying attention to each other. It just depends on where they're at in their business.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about people who resist making the investment in a coach? You know, there's so many people out there that are starting small businesses and they're on such a shoestring, but they might intellectually know that they could benefit from a coach, or they've heard that, but they don't want to take the risk of spending the money. What's your take on that?
It's such an interesting question. I think that they should surround themselves with as many resources as they can, and that they should figure in their budget. They should try and figure out how to put it in their budget.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who starts, you know, the reality is that sometimes people just decide to start a business one day. They don't even have a budget for it, right? So
right.
to add anything in, it gets tricky for them. But I think it's really, really valuable for people to have someone who is a trusted resource, someone who can walk down the road with them and help them try and minimize the landmines as much as possible. Every small business owner has things happen that they wish didn't happen. Like every small business owner, because that's how you learn. And
yeah.
so a trusted resource can say, I'm not sure I'd go down that road. I wouldn't open that door, right? And you know what? They're probably going to open the door. But a coach or a consultant or an advisor can help minimize not only some of that from happening, but when it does happen, the impact. You can get back on the bike quickly, so to speak. So my suggestion would be budget for it. Do your research. Find out what that sort of investment would look like. Find someone who you really trust, and then budget for it. Figure out how to put that money in there. A lot of coaches have different programs for different budgets, and so you can probably find a way to be able to afford it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say, you know.
You may
not get the full-blown package, but you can get enough to get yourself ramped up.
Yeah, and then as you get ramped up, then you can
yeah.
invest in more as you
right.
see fit.
Exactly.
I think that's a mistake that a lot of small business owners make, is that
yeah.
they don't make the investment in things that could really help them make a difference in their business.
Yeah.
You think that's
true? They
don't
think about it. Yeah, I think that's true. I think they don't think about it. I think you go into business and you're told, invest in marketing, invest in a website, all true. invest it, get a lawyer, get a CPA, absolutely, all true. But no one's really there saying, and you know what, make sure you have an advisor. You know, make sure you've got someone who's been there, who has answers to questions, who can help guide you and help you get off on a really good foot. And so usually what happens is they get themselves, you know, they can start and they can be going great guns, or they can start and they can be sort of sputtering. But they get to this place where they think, oh, no, I'm on a tipping point. And that's then when they want to hire someone. And that's oftentimes when they are in the worst position financially to hire someone.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a tricky dance. But, you know, it's a good question. I mean, I'm glad you asked the question, because if people are prepared, you know, if they prepare themselves for it, you know, you can afford the stuff that you need in your business as long as you know what that is and what that potential investment is, and then work yourself around it. You might have to hold off on something else for a period. That's okay, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that that makes a lot of sense for people. And have you ever advised people to get a group, like a board of advisors or something like that?
Sure. As a matter of fact, I had someone hire me to help him start his advisory board. It was really interesting, you know. He didn't want a coach. What he wanted was a group of people who had been where he is in manufacturing, to been where he is now, who could help advise him moving forward. And so that's, we did that. I've also spoken to groups that about actually bringing on an advisory board. I mean, that is another alternative, is to get a group of people who can give you guidance, who are willing to volunteer their time, who will meet with you quarterly to, you know, for half a day, whatever it is, to help you move your business forward. There's a lot of opportunities out there, really. I mean, there's plenty of resources available online that are free. I know Cozy, that I belong to, has just relaunched their Expert Network, which is a website that's got all kinds of resources and valuable information on it, and people who are available for different areas of guidance. So, you know, we live in a world where there are a lot of resources available to people. You know, they should do the research and find out the ones that make the most sense for them.
So, Diane, what's your vision for your company, and what are the steps that led you to creating the vision?
It's always such an interesting question about vision. My ultimate vision for my company is that I am providing resources to small business owners in a variety of ways so that no matter how they seek that knowledge, they can get it. So, for example, I want to have a whole resource library of trainings on different areas of business, on sales, on leadership, that are available for purchase on my website and, you know, in the Amazon marketplace and places like that. I want to continue to do the advising that I'm doing. I want to continue to do it worldwide, because in this day and age, it's easy to do. I don't even necessarily have to travel much to be able to get that done. And that vision really grew over time, and it came out of me experiencing what I really enjoy about what I do. So as my business has evolved, and so this is technically my 10th anniversary, and I took the word coaching out of my business name, because what I realized is I do so much more than coaching, and I probably don't do coaching in the traditional sense of the word, like in the ICF sense of the word. So what I realize that I really, really enjoy is being that trusted partner with my clients, that I'm their go-to. I'm the person who they turn to before they make major decisions, when something challenging is going on in their business. I love that part. So I want to be doing more of that and have those kinds of clients, that I am with them consistently over time as a part of their business, that where I'm not implementing, but I'm up there with them decision-making. So, you know, but that was something that had to happen over time, because that wasn't where I started, you know, where I started.
Yeah.
I was in a very different place.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool to watch the evolution of a business, and, you know, you think that you're going in a certain way, and then you find out what you really love to do.
Yeah,
and Yeah, that's great when you get that kind of fulfillment.
Yeah.
So tell me about the Business Opportunity Network.
The Business Opportunity Network, I created this a couple years ago. What I really wanted was more than just a referral sharing group. There's plenty of referral sharing groups out there. There's BNI and B2B Connect and LaTip and AmSpirit and more than I even know about that are out there. But I really wanted something where the people who came could work on their business while they were meeting, you know, twice a month for an hour and a half. So I created it a couple years ago where at every meeting we have a coach-led, consultant-led, facilitated conversation. So anybody in the group can bring a topic to the table that they're dealing with in their business. They can put it on the table, and we all discuss it. So they get insights from their peers. They get guidance from the leader of the group. And then there's referral sharing as well in there. So the groups are category exclusive. There can only be one person per business category in the group. And I wanted to prove the concept. Last year I was up for, the groups were actually nominated for Networking Group of the Year for the Connector's Choice Awards. And so I went to the members and I said, would you guys be willing to give a testimonial? And the testimonials we got were fantastic, and they were all
wow.
about the part I love best is being able to grow my business by putting issues on the table and having them dealt with. You know, people
yeah.
leave with tangible stuff. They may not leave with a referral, but they leave with things that they've grown some as a business owner. They can leave with stuff they take back in their business. So last year I decided to license it and offer it to coaches and consultants in other cities so that they could have a revenue stream and we could just expand the concept, because this is, you know, part of my vision for my business is that this concept is nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
There's groups all over the country of, you know, coaches leading these groups and helping these small business owners grow their businesses.
Yeah, I absolutely love that idea.
Right.
So who is your perfect licensee?
The perfect licensee is a business coach or consultant who is looking for another revenue stream, who is really good at facilitating a group discussion, you know, so that everyone who wants to be involved in the conversation can be, and who can also add their expertise and their insights into the conversation to make sure that whoever's got the topic, who's got the issue, is getting some sort of guidance out of it. But also, if no one puts a topic on the table, has one that they can bring up, you know, has something that they can provide. They want another revenue stream. They like the idea of being able to showcase their skills, you know, into a group of people. They are probably well enough connected in their community that they can, and respected in their community, that when they do an outreach, people want to come and visit to at least find out what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, self-motivated, self-driven, have grown their business to a place where they understand sales. You know, they understand how to build a business. Those are the big parts of it. I help them. You know, I provide them with all of the back office stuff and the how you grow a group like this kind
mm-hmm.
of education. But at the end of the day, they're the ones who are going to have to go do it.
Yeah, so that would be really fun to see business opportunity networks all over.
It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I think so.
Exactly.
Great. So how can people reach you?
Really, the best way for them to find me is to go to my website, which is seizethisday.co. There is no M on there, and it is this, not the. They can find me on my Biz TV shows channel as well, and the, you know, all the connectedness is there. Those are probably the two best ways to find me. If they go to my website, they can sign up for a complimentary 30-minute phone consultation.
They great.
Can sign up for my newsletter. You know, both of those are right there when they get there. So
mm-hmm.
I make it easy.
Okay, thank you so much for being on the show. But before I let you go, I always ask everyone to share the top three traits that you see when someone comes to you and maybe in that 30-minute consultation and you're assessing whether they'll be a good client for you and they're assessing whether you'll be a good fit for them, what are three traits that you look for in a person that you know with your consulting and leadership and guidance that they will be able to sort of success? What would you say those three traits are?
I would say the first one is that they are willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so really the first one is that they know they need and want help.
Yes.
In solving whatever it is that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That
okay.
They can hear a different viewpoint, and that they are willing to, I don't know if willing is the right word, but that they will get back up. So if they fall down,
mm-hmm.
they will get back up.
Thanks again, Diane.
Oh, thank you. It was wonderful. I appreciate the opportunity to spend time with you today.
Thanks for listening to the Soar to Success
right,
podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit SoarToSuccessMagazine.com and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.